Hey, greetings, saints and seekers. If you're listening, this is Brother James, DontPerish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I want to get back on my Matthew verse by verse. We want to finish up Matthew 23 today. We left off at verse 33. We're going to go 34 to 39 today. Finish this up, and we'll keep going in the book of Matthew. Now, remember, the last time we left off from Matthew 23, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and we had just got past the woe verses, calling them hypocrites, snakes, vipers, rebuking them for their sin. So that's the context. Jesus still talking to those wicked, hard-hearted, hypocritical Pharisees. Let's get into verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Okay, so Jesus is telling the Pharisees that what they are going to do to his messengers. Now, we know Jesus is God. He knows the future. He knew how it all was going to play out. He knew the past and what their fathers had done, what they were currently doing, okay, as far as persecuting him and about to persecute the Christians. And history is about to repeat itself, because we already covered in the earlier Matthew 23 study that their fathers were the ones that were persecuting and killing the prophets from before in the Old Testament. And as I do these studies, I always like to look for areas where we can point out and give evidence of Jesus' deity, right? I always have these people that come up to me in the street when I'm preaching and witnessing telling me Jesus isn't God. And the Bible is so full of information and factual evidence to show he's God. Here's another one. Notice Jesus says, by the way, I got articles on Jesus is God on my teaching blog from DontPerish.com. Go check those out. Notice here Jesus says, I send prophets. Hey, who sent the prophets? God. Who does Jesus say sent the prophets? He did. I guess that makes Jesus God. He's clearly saying that he is God. Now, we know these leaders are going to kill and torture those that they disagree with. And in a sense, Jesus is predicting his own physical demise with them as they're plotting. They're about to have him killed, hand him over to the Romans to be crucified. Jesus just mentioned that. So Jesus is predicting what their wicked, hard-hearted fruit is going to produce. Verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Okay, so Christ is telling them here that a day of reckoning, a day of judgment is coming. And really, he points to, from the beginning of history, all the way going back to Abel, Genesis 4, I think it's verses 4 and 8, you can read about Abel, to Zechariah. So Jesus has taken us all the way back to the very first issues and saying that the Pharisees in Israel, what does he say? Upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. That other man he talks about, Zacharias, we can read about him in 2 Chronicles 24, 18 to 21. Let's read that. And they left the house of the Lord God to their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, and the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. All right, so that verse tells us about Zacharias. You know, one of the things we need to consider here, Christ is doling out judgment on Israel. To whom much is given, much will be required. Luke 12:48 tells us, Israel was given the covenant of God, the laws of God, the blessing of God, prophets of God, and it rejected all of it. So judgment's going to come. No nation was more favored than Israel. God's going to be harshest on who? The one who much was given. Also notice, God forsakes them as they won't repent, follow, and obey him. Hey, they still believed in him. So much for God's unconditional, you know, once secure, saved, always saved. This is a lie. God never operated that way. God always required people to follow and obey him, forsake their sin as proof that they had a saving faith in him. Jesus here is calling out the nation of Israel for what? For its hundreds of years of killing his prophets, his messengers, his holy people. There's going to be an avenging that's coming, right? God's going to bring that in the end to the whole world. And Zacharias even hinted to it, called for it in verse 22 of the chapter 2 Chronicles 24 that we read. Verse 22, thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoadad his father had done unto him, but slew his son. When he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. In other translations, that word means avenge. So Zacharias was calling for God to avenge. Reminds me of the Revelation verse where the people say, how long before our blood is not avenged? Yeah, Israel was being judged for their sin, their rebellion, and we're going to see what's the fruit of that, what happens from that. Verse 36, verily I say unto you, Jesus said, all these things shall come upon this generation. Okay, Christ is predicting the judgment on Israel, and it came very quickly after he was resurrected in 70 AD. You can look it up. It's history. Everybody agrees this happened. Jerusalem was sacked. The temple was destroyed. And Israel went off into exile. There's your judgment. Don't serve God. He's not going to protect you. He's not an unconditional God. He's a conditional God. Don't walk in his covenant. You don't get his coverage. We're going to see about coverage in this very next verse. Also, you reap what you sow, right? Galatians 6, 7, what we sow, we reap. I preach that all the time in the streets. You sow to the flesh, you sow to the world, you sow to sin, that's what you're going to reap. You sow to truth and righteousness and goodness and purity and doctrine, you're going to sow to that. Verse 37, Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gather her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. All right, so here we see the heart of Jesus for this nation of Israel. Remember, he told us he came for the nation of Israel and for Jerusalem. I think we need to remember, he's returning at his second coming to Israel, and he's going to bring a new Jerusalem one day. Yeah, he is. Go read Revelation 21, verse 2. There's going to be a new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. These were to be his people, but they had gone into sin, rebellion, idolatry, and they wouldn't come out, even killing prophets that he sent. Now, Jesus' comment about the hen and chicks. I grew up on a farm, so I know about this. Do you know about this? Have you ever seen little chickens, little chicks? They hide under their mom's wings. It's so adorable. Mom puts her wings out, and the little chicks all nestle under mom for warmth, for safety, for protection. not too long ago, a saint, a dear saint that we love in Australia, sent us pictures of that with a hen with the little chicks peeping out, looking out from underneath the mama chicken. It's a place of safety and protection, and it's a place that Israel should have gone, but they didn't. I think you go read in the book of Psalms, it talks about the wings of God and the protection and all of that type of thing. These are words that just describe God to us. They're so we can understand our Heavenly Father. Yeah, Israel should have gone for the protection, but she didn't, and judgment came. Jesus wanted to be Israel's protector, but he couldn't because she would not forsake her sin. This is another example of God needing us to repent and draw near to him, to obey him, or destruction comes. It's not once saved, always saved, no matter what. It's not God's unconditional love. All of these are lies. It's not true in the Old Testament. It's not true in the New Testament. If you stay in sin, willful sin, the Bible tells us you'll be judged. There's no covering for you. Destruction is your end. You must repent and prove your saving faith in this Messiah. Faith alone has never been God's way. It's always faith with the fruit of obedience and holiness in his word and ways. Look at this, what we're reading about today. What's the result of faith that lacks obedience, holiness, following, forsaking your sin? Judgment and destruction. That's what's going to come to you and I if we live in sin. No forgiveness of sin that we live in, that we hold on to and will not forsake. Verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Yeah, Christ is referring to their couple things, their faith life, which would be your house. He's also clearly referring to the house of Israel. It's in sin, it's in idolatry, it's in rebellion, and it's going to be destroyed. They had rejected God as their father, as his laws. They've rejected now the Messiah he sent them, God himself in the flesh. Again, no unconditional love seen here. No, even for Israel, that God is the apple of his eye. God always has conditions for his covenants. Don't ever let anybody tell you that's not true. Read the Old Testament. Read all of the New Testament. Covenants of God always had two parties. Him and you and I or others in agreement, both doing their side of the covenant. Christ kept his side of the covenant perfectly. Now he calls us to keep our part, just like he was calling Israel here to keep their part of the covenant. Verse 39, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. All right, in this last verse of Matthew 23, Jesus is quoting Psalm 118:26. Basically, I believe what he's saying here is he's telling them that his earthly ministry has come to a close. They're not going to publicly see him again till he comes back in glory to rule Israel and the nations of the earth. I think that's what he's alluding to here. He is going to come back one day. He's going to rule. Revelation 19, 15, and 16. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of God, of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I like that. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, and by the way, I just need to say, vesture, that's a tunic. Yeah, all God's people, including God himself, when he was on earth, wore a robe or a tunic. I always like to point that out. It's how we cover our temple to honor God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, it's a small thing that we can do to obey him, to walk in his word, to walk in his ways, to walk in his holiness. And that's what Israel was called to do. And now we, as the people of God, grafted in, because of what Christ has done, we are called to obey him, to preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey everything he's commanded. And oh, what a day that's going to be when Christ returns at his second coming. He's coming in power. And one last thought, Israel in that day, along with the world, will have no choice but to see him as king. When they see him coming in the clouds and he parts the sky, people will have no doubt to know who he is, what he said was true. The Bible says they'll be calling for rocks to fall on them to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. What a day that will be. I hope that you're walking in covenant with God. I hope that you are striving and forsaking all sin. Come out of the world, come out of churchianity, come out of your flesh, your pride, your vanity, whatever it is that besets you or overtakes you. I hope you're repenting of it, leaving it for God's glory. And I hope you're on the right side of his second coming. I am so looking forward to the second coming of Christ when he comes and makes everything right and makes everything new, vanquishes evil, and sets up his kingdom for the Father's glory. Hey, we're going to leave it right there. That finishes Matthew 23. We're working our way through to the end of the book. Up next, famous Matthew 24. I can't wait to dig into it. Hope you're being blessed by these. Go to don'tperish.com. Go look up the verse by verse. You can catch up on all the other Matthew studies. Check out all the resources. Thousands of audios, articles, videos, sisters' blogs, street preaching videos, witnessing episodes, witnessing audios, all there to edify you. Jesus said, let your good works be seen before men. This is not about us. I could not be doing what I'm doing without the truth of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. This is about our King and our Master and going into the world and proclaiming him. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I will catch you next time, Lord willing, as we get into Matthew 24. We love you all. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time, go out, have a glorious day, and may God be praised.